Good morning. Scripture today is from Genesis 1, verses 20 through 31. You can follow along in your Bibles or on the screen behind me. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the water teems, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I wonder if you might pray with me and for me this morning. Holy God, we are so grateful for your amazing creation, for the beautiful sunshine as we drive in this morning. We are reminded of your great love for us. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would speak through me, that you would give us ears to hear exactly what you want us to hear, that you would give our minds a deep understanding, and our hearts might be transformed by your word this morning. Lord, we are grateful for your scripture, and we are grateful that we have the gift that comes from you. In your son's name, amen. So before I jump into the sermon this morning, I want to paint the picture a bit for you of creation. So I want you to take just about a minute and watch this video. I think creation is incredible. I think it's magnificent to see all the beauty of God's creation. I have a congregation participation question this morning. So this means you must do something when I ask this question. The question is, most people find themselves in one of two camps when it comes to vacationing. Either they're mountain people, right? Not mountain people. People who go to the mountains and they enjoy all the beauty that comes from the mountains, that time away separated, or they're beach people, right? They like to go to the beach. So I want, by show of hands, and if you're both, I suppose you can answer both times. If you are a mountain person, if you like to go to the mountain, raise your hand. Okay. All right. If you're more of a beach person, raise your hand. Okay, some people are like waving their hands. The beach is the place to be. Okay, mountain people, I got to tell you, I can't be with you on this one. I am not a mountain person. I don't get going off. I don't get it. But I am a beach person. I'm a beach person. Growing up, we went to the beach every single summer. Frankly, it was the highlight of my summer. I loved it. I always looked forward to going to the beach. And we went to the beach in Ocean City in Maryland. I don't know why we went north to go to the beach, but we did. We went to the beach in Ocean City, and we would go there. And if you've ever been to Ocean City, you know that if you go on Saturday morning, it doesn't matter what time you leave, you can get so close, but you get to the bridge just outside of Ocean City, and you've got another hour and a half to go because you're just sitting in traffic. And we had an older car that overheated, and we'd have to roll down the windows because the air conditioning would stop working at that point. But I remember every time when you get about to the bridge, the point where you sat and you waited, you could roll down the windows and you could smell the beach. You know what smell I'm talking about? The salt, the sun, people suntan lotion that are walking by. I mean, you smell everything, the beach. And I remember our car, once we finally got through all that traffic, my parents could barely stop at the condo, and the kids were jumping out of the car. We were running. We would leave our shoes on the boardwalk, you know, taking them off. We'd get to the beach and just plant in the sand, all of us. And then we'd run down to the water. We weren't allowed, we weren't allowed to go in the water without my parents being there. But I remember that first look every single year. We'd run down to the water, and I would just stand there, barely touching my toes. And I would look out at the ocean. Isn't the ocean an amazing thing? An incredible thing that you can look out so far, and you can't see the end of it. You just look and look. And I remember, as I would stand there, I could sense God at the beach. I could see God in the beauty of that creation. So I don't think I fully have to convince us this morning that creation is beautiful. We watched that video. It's incredible. I also, don't think I have to remind us fully that creation sustains us. Right? When we go to the faucet and we turn it on, what usually happens? Water comes out, right? That wasn't a trick question. Really, water usually comes out when we turn the faucet on. But I think, and I'm guilty of this, living in Northern Virginia, we forget often where that water comes from, right? It's not just the place where we write the check to each month. The water comes from the environment, from the source. And water is such a basic need for life. So the environment is a provider as well. It's that which sustains us. Now, part of the reason we shared in the Apostles' Creed this morning is because it's always good to share in what we believe in our faith. But the other thing was, I wanted to make sure we were all on the same playing field this morning. Right? The playing field that I'm talking about is we say together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty. What's the next line? Maker of heaven and earth, or creator of heaven and earth. Either way. So we're in the same place. We said it together. We all joined as a congregation, saying that we believe God, the God that we worship, the God of the universe, is the God, the maker of heaven and earth. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And Genesis 1:2 tells us that God did it out of nothing. The theological word for that is ex nihilo. Out of nothing, God created. And it's such an amazing thing to me. As I think about God creating and what the outcome was, what the output was, this beautiful creation, and to start with nothing. It tells us that our God is an incredibly creative God. Now, the great theologian Jonathan Edwards says that creation is a way that God reveals himself to us. Specifically, he says, the works of God are but a kind of voice or language of God to instruct intelligent beings to things pertaining to himself. So he says that God gives us creation as another way for God's revelation, as another way for God to reveal himself to us. Now, I want to take a sidebar here really quickly. In case anyone is wondering, I am not one that believes that creation is God. Okay, let me just clear that up. God created creation. It's a product of God, but only God is God. in my belief, in my tradition, in my theology. So I want to say that to you. God is the God of creation. God is the God who created the Grand Canyon. How many people have seen the Grand Canyon? Isn't it an incredible thing that God would create something so amazing and so beautiful? That same God is the God who created the oceans, the mountains, the seas, the skies. But with all of that incredible beauty, with all of that that sustains us, comes great responsibility for us, friends. We are called to do something about it. So the question this morning is, why should I care about the environment? Now, like many trends that happen in the U.S., going green is huge, right? It's a big thing right now. The Institute, and I want to get the name of this right because I've never heard of it before. The Institute for Grocery Distribution, okay? The Institute for Grocery Distribution says that 70% of today's shoppers go for more expensive grocery items if they're marked organic, fair trade, or free range. Sales of these sorts of grocery items has gone up by 20% every year for the past 10 years. Everything from your neighborhood supermarket now to even clothing. Patagonia makes a jacket made completely of recycled bottles, right? Levi's, Nike are eco-friendly companies now. If you go to Sam's Club, they sell a pair of jeans that's 100% organic cotton, right? And all of this is really cool and it's really exciting. And the truth is, what we know about this is that people want to care about their environment. People want to do really good things for their environment. Now, this week I put on my Facebook page that question. What do you do to care for your environment? Why should we care about the environment? Hoping to get some feedback from the congregation, and I did. Many of you sent in Facebook messages, emails. But one person wrote an incredibly profound word on my Facebook page. He wrote, duh. Duh. Of course we should care about the environment. As if it's a no-brainer. Tim, why are you going to waste 30 minutes of our life? Of course. We need to do it. Of course. It was as if he said, of course, we're all annoyed and appalled when someone throws trash out the window. Or we're bothered when we drive through a parking lot or down a street and there's trash all along the street. All of us were bothered, no matter how it happened or how we feel about it, by the oil spill in the Gulf Coast. Everybody was bothered by it. So it was as if he was saying, Tim, we all get it. But here's what I'll say. I believe as Christians, we're behind the eight ball on this one, friends. I believe as the church, the people who God has given creation to, we should be on the forefront of this, saying we need to take care of creation. So, I have a confession. This week, Barbara walks into my office, and she wasn't testing me for the sermon, but she said, where's your recycle bin? And I looked under my desk just to realize I don't have one. I don't have a recycle bin in my office. Now, the truth is, I put paper together, and I take it into the community one, but if I had a recycle bin in my office, I would do something every day about it. I would put my paper in there, and I would do something for the environment every day. Friends, as Christians, as the church, we need to do something about it, not because it's a fad, not because it's a trend, not because going green is the cool new thing to do, but because it's been given to us. So some of you might be saying, wow, we've spent the last 2 weeks in some pretty powerful topics. Why should we care about politics? Why should we care about the poor, the needy, our neighbor? Tim, does it really stack up? Does caring about the environment, is it as serious as these two issues? And I would like to tell you that I think it is. I think that we are called by God to care about what God cares about. It's a way for us to honor God, but also we have to remember that the environment is that which sustains us, that which gives us very life. In his book, Mission of God, Christopher Wright says this, the church in its mission must bear witness to the great biblical claim that the earth is the Lord's. And the church must care for the earth as an act of love and obedience to the Creator and Redeemer. And then he says, if the greatest commandment is that we should love God, that surely implies that we should treat what belongs to God with honor, care, and respect. So if our greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then that means we should care for the things that God cares about. And I believe as we read the account in Genesis 1, we see a God who cares for creation. A God who intentionally and purposefully designed it. So let's go look at Genesis 1 this morning. What does it tell us about creation? Here's the first thing. And we've gotten to it a little bit. We need it. We need creation. I am a firm believer that God's work is intentional. That God does things purposefully. If you look at the account in Genesis 1 and you see how God created the heaven and the earth, then the light and the dark, the water and the land, the vegetations and the animals, and then humans. Why in that order? Why does it matter? It matters because you cannot create humans until you've given something to sustain them. Something to help them live. So it's a very powerful and intentional thing that God does as he walks through creation. We could not survive, we will not survive without creation and if creation is destroyed. I like to think of creation as a beautiful masterpiece that God has designed. Maybe while we're watching it, I don't know if you've ever watched a painter paint, but sometimes you see things a painter paints and you go, I don't really know what that's going to be or how that's going to work out. I feel like when we read the creation account in Genesis, we're going, okay, the heaven and the earth, right, the night and the day. And you get to the end and you get to see the full picture of God's beautiful creation. When you drove in this morning, you got to see the full picture of God's creation. We watch this video, we see the full masterpiece that God has given us. Now, intellectually, I don't think I have to help us understand that we need creation. Right? In second or third grade, and I don't know, maybe kindergarten today, because things have changed so much. In science, we learn that trees produce what?
Oxygen.
Very good. Trees produce oxygen. And what do we need to live? Oxygen. So it's a very natural thing. And the very air that we breathe that keeps us alive comes from the environment. If we hear on the news that there's a section of town or a place where the water is contaminated, we find out if that's where we live. We find out if it's affecting us, and we run out and we go and buy bottled water or whatever we need because it sustains us. We need it. My grandmother, who I've spoken about before, she is 97 years old. She was born, physically born, and physically died in her same house. 97 years. And I remember we would go visit my grandmother often. I would go spend a week with her in the summer. And I have to admit, I never fully understood my grandmother. Until she was 90 years old, she was out tilling the garden. She grew all of her own vegetables. She had a stream that went through her backyard that went to a spring house, right? And she would take her pitcher out, and that's where she got all of her drinking water from. She never got drinking water from that faucet thing, right? It came from the spring house. See, now I look back and I get my grandmother. My grandmother knew what the environment provided for her, and she took care of it. She knew that she needed that environment. I mean, honestly, down to most things, she lived almost fully off of her land. She knew what it provided for her and how the environment sustained her. She knew that it brought her her very life. Here's the second thing. Genesis tells us we're called to nurture creation. Let's look at verses 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our own image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Now, let's look at this for just a second. Humans in the image of God are called to steward over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky. Go back to that first verse if you don't mind. That word to rule over means to care for or to steward. The fish in the sea and the birds of the sky, essentially all of creation. Now I love this because the first divine mandate that God gives humans is about relationship. But it's not about relationship to each other. It's about relationship to the earth. The first divine word that God says to humans is take care of the earth. Care for it. Watch over it. Rule over it, but steward it. And let's look at the next verse. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Now, the funny thing about Scripture is, especially if we're reading quickly, we often read it and we get whatever that English translation is for us and we got it, right? Subdue it. Right? What subdue actually meant in the time was to cultivate. What the word actually translates from is to cultivate, to work for it, to work hard. See, the Israelites would have really understood this language, right, as they hear this, because they knew what it meant to work the land, to care for it, to protect it. So we are called in this scripture, by God, mandated to do it. Now, here's something really cool about this. Can I tell you? I love it when I find these things in scripture. What's really cool about this is that up to this point, God has done everything on his own, right? But he invites humans into the process. He invites humanity and gives them some of the power. And that power is to care for it. He says, I want to be in partnership with you in caring for the environment. So here's my question for us this morning. How are we doing? How are we doing caring for God's creation, this gift that we've been given? Well, I have to tell you, I did a lot of research this week, and every single website, no matter which political party it's pointing you to, says that we're not doing so well. We're not doing well caring for our environment. So I want to give you just a few statistics this morning, a few facts that come from the Environmental Protection Agency. Here's the first one. In the past 50 years, since 1960, humans have consumed more resources than in all of previous history. Is that not a staggering fact? In the past 50 years, we've used more than in all of history. Here's the second thing. The way that we produce, consume, and dispose of our products and our food accounts for 42% of the U.S. greenhouse gas emissions. Wow. 42% based on how we dispose of things. Here's the third one. This is staggering to me. The U.S. buried and burned more than 166 million tons of resources, paper, plastic, metals, glass, and organic materials in landfills, and incinerators in 2008. We recycled and composted only one-third of our discards. Wow. Think about that, 166 million tons of our trash. Between 1970 and 1995, this is the last one, the U.S. represented about one-third of the world's total material consumption, so 33%. Yet population-wise, we represent 5%. So as folks in the U.S., we have used more than 28% of our share. So I would say that tells us that we're not doing too good caring for God's environment. Let's look at the third thing. Genesis tells us we can use but not abuse creation. As we look at the whole Genesis account, we see that God has given it to us as a gift to be ambassadors, to care for creation, to watch over it, to love it. But God has also said that we can use it. He allows us to use it. So let's look at verses 29 and 30. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for good, for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. See, we're allowed to use the resources. God put it there. God designed it so that we could use it. But we should use the earth in a way that we're caring for it as well. We should use the earth in such a way that we're not tearing it down and destroying it, but that we are building it up and fulfilling the great masterpiece, bringing it back to fulfillment that God has designed. So the question this morning then comes, then how? How do we do this? How do we do something to make a difference? Because the reality is, many of you are doing something. So I put on my Facebook page, as I said, I wanted people to tell me how they take care of the environment. So let's look at a few of these things. Here's the first one. Use less. Seems simple, right? But that statistic was, we're 5%, we're using 32%, 33%. Use less. I have three little kids at home. And I can tell you every single time we get in the car to go somewhere, I must go back in the house before we leave if I want to make sure that all the lights are off. Never, ever do they turn all the lights off. Or if they've gone to wash their hands, often the faucet is still running when they're done. I heard a statistic on a TV show the other day that was talking about shower time. And if you cut shower time from 15 minutes to 5 minutes, that you can save an incredible amount of water over the course of a year. Not only does it help your water bill, but it helps the environment. Those fancy little bags, right, that the grocery store sells that are like a buck a piece, reusable grocery bags, use them. Plastic bags are killing us, friends. Use those bags. Use a rag instead of a paper towel. You're getting the point, right? Use less. Use less. Here's the second thing. Recycle. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but my recycling company, our trash company, says that in Fairfax County, it's actually the law. You must recycle. So we get these great recycling bins. For us, it's very easy because I lift up the top of my bin and it tells me, not only with words, but also with pictures, exactly what I can put in there. It's great. But here's what I know. In my family, we don't get as meticulous about recycling as we should. We don't get to throwing every single thing away that we can because sometimes it's just easier not to put it in there, right? Sometimes it's easier not to separate things. I heard a story back a little while ago about a family in our church, family of five, who got down to one bag of trash in a whole week. All the rest was recycling. I mean, what a goal, right? To recycle every single thing that you can. Why? Because it's good for our environment. It's the right thing to do. Here's the third thing. Experience and teach. Our children today are growing up in a little bit different scenario than even I grew up in, but certainly that my parents grew up in. There are many more demands on time from school, from sports, from other activities that they're in. So we don't get to get out and experience God's creation very much. Our kids don't get to get out. Our rule growing up was you come in when the streetlights go on, right? You don't have to come until the streetlights go on, which meant from the moment we got home from school, I don't know when we did homework. From the moment when we got home from school, it was outside to play. The streetlights come on, we came back in. Because we were out playing in the environment. But I want to read to you specifically what one person in our congregation wrote about this. She wrote, "Before I had kids, I was an environmental educator. And I used to teach kids all about nature while hiking through the woods. Now I teach my own kids about nature. Together with our children, we compost, we recycle, turn off lights, and we grow our own vegetables. The best way for one to really begin to care and want to protect the environment is to get out and experience and enjoy nature." And what a powerful word, right? Friends, we are how far from Frying Pan Farm Park? Living in Northern Virginia, that's an amazing gift to go and to experience it. Plant a small garden with your children. Not necessarily to provide for your whole family. If it does, that's great. But teach them about gardening. Teach them about what the earth provides. Educate your children. Take them on a hike. Yes, even in the mountains. Walk with them and let them experience it. The next one, this is not really another thing. This is just something that we need to do. And I've talked about it throughout the whole thing. We need to care. When we see trash on the side of the road, it ought to bother us. And we ought to be willing to do something about it. We shouldn't just say, well, somebody else will pick that up. Right? That's someone else's job. Someone was telling me just a little while back about running into a high school student walking down the side of the road. And they look over at the high school student, and she's got an empty milk jug and some trash in her hand. And after talking to her, she just said, well, it was on the road, so I picked it up. Friends, we should learn from high school students. We should pick up stuff if we see it. We should take our own responsibility in helping care for the environment. I love what Lawrence Kushner writes. He says this, if all the people in the world were to do what they could do, our world would truly be a Garden of Eden, the way God meant it to be. If everything broken could be repaired, then everyone and everything would fit together like the pieces of one gigantic jigsaw puzzle. But for people to begin the great task of repairing creation, they must first take responsibility. To repair creation, we have to do something. We've got to say it's our problem, and we've got to own it. Here's the last thing. Be an environmental activist. Some of you are doing this. This isn't what everybody's called to do, but for those of you that are, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for those of you that work with our political leaders and our legislators to make something happen, to do something different. I'm grateful for those of you that encourage your Christian brothers and sisters and encourage the world to do something to care for the environment. So I just say thank you to you this morning for doing that. So we come to the end. Why should we care about the environment? Why does it matter? Is it really important? And what I would say to you is the God of creation, the God who we believe in, the God who we worship, has given it to us to care for. It's as simple as that. God has said to humans, I gift this to you. Now take care of it. And frankly, friends, as I've been saying, we're not doing the greatest job. We've been given this gift. I can't imagine a world where it's not safe for my grandchildren to go and play on the beach, to experience the ocean, to have green space to run around in, where nature wouldn't be available to them to experience. We should care for the environment because we need it. Remember that video that we watched in the beginning, where we saw the beauty of creation? Each of those things gives me a glimpse into the creativity of God. The God who loves us so much that would be willing to give us that to experience, to participate in the care of. So I hope that we can honor God. I hope that as we read this morning, that we can love God enough to care about the things that God cares about, to care about the thing that we've been given in creation. So here's what I want you to do. I'll end on this. I want you to go home today after the service, if you're going to have a meal with your family or with your friends. And I want you to talk about this issue with your kids, with your family, with whomever is around. What do we do? What do you do in your family to take care of the environment? And then up the ante a little bit. What more can we do? What can we do to make a real difference in our little section of the earth that we've been given? And I promise you that I believe that will be pleasing to God when you do that. Let's pray. God, we are so grateful this morning for your creation. We're grateful for how that reveals your great love for us. And I pray, Lord, that this church, that the global church, would be people that step up and say, we're going to make a difference in caring for the environment. Lord, guide the conversations that happen amongst families today, and guide us, Lord, as we step up to care for your world. Amen.